Good morning. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. I did as well. Tonight it's got some snow out there, some ice out there. It is not going to warm up like it normally does, so make sure you get the ice covered and with salt and sand and clean up the snow a little bit, right? It's on you as a property owner to do that. Make sure you get it done or have somebody else do it for you. We're now joined by Tim Dunn. Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald, formerly of here, WBSM, Fox News, just a great journalist. And thanks for joining me, Tim. I do appreciate it, my friend.
As always, thanks for the intro and thanks for having me.
So, Tim, lot to talk about with you. Let's start out with the most pressing story since the weekend, the attack on the students down at Brown University. You were down there. You've been working on this story. Tim Dunn, what do you have to report to us?
Yeah, it was just awful shooting. I was sent down there Saturday night. Right when I was wrapping up my typical shift, I usually work Tuesday to Saturday. So I just as I had finished, you know, kind of all the phones started going off. Actually, the first one to message me was Barry. You know, he's a reporter at heart. So yes, he was, you know, sending me all the info. And then I kind of started getting flooded in by my bosses and everything. But yeah, I went down there and it was, as we were talking about earlier, it's kind of it's crazy how the story keeps changing, how information keeps changing, how yes, they have a suspect, they don't have a suspect. And you know, one thing I noticed down there, and I only went down Saturday. We actually had our new crime and courts reporter, Colleen Cronin. She's doing a great job down there. She's been on the scene over there and also covering Brian Walsh. So she's kind of got her hands in both pots. But as far as I know, when I was down there, they had a couple press conferences. And what I noticed from the press conference I was at is how much they didn't know. And I got to preface this by saying I'm not in law enforcement, and I totally respect that I don't know the aspects that they're thinking of when they have investigations. And I know they can't, you know, you can't tip your players to the other team either.
Right.
But what concerned me was that they took so long for them to release any image at all of the suspect, you know. And I've tried going over thousands of scenarios in my mind. The video, we've all seen it, of the suspect walking around a street corner.
Right.
You know, I just don't know how it wouldn't benefit getting it to the media faster. It took about 6 hours until they finally released it to
right,
us, and then we were still waiting, and they told us to get it to us. So, you know, the media is your friend in that position.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. We're speaking with Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald about the Brown shooting. The suspect is still on the loose, which is a lot to comprehend when you think that they closed the whole city down. They locked it down. Nobody was moving in or out because they said they had somebody, and then they let him go. What do we know about that, Tim?
So as far as I've been able to conjure up, and from what I've been talking to our reporter with the Herald, is they brought the guy in for questioning, and they, you know, one way or another, they found out that it wasn't him. They've released him, and they've said that he has no ties to the shooting. It was just a bad tip or whatever happened there. And they have no other information really on the suspect. Just, you know, when I was down there, they told us that was the only video they had of that 10-second clip that they released. Tim White from WPRI, you know, yes, they're on top of it.
Yes.
He tweeted out an hour ago that police have said that they have an extra video now or more video that they're going to release or they may release at some point. But then I saw another update from Eric Doherty. He's with a Florida outlet. They're coming up here for this. He says that police have now admitted, this is about half hour ago, they've now admitted that the video they've already released is the only one they have. So it's still a lot. Unfortunately, a lot happens in these kind of stories happen is that a lot of different information coming in and out. What was surprising to me also was they had no video of the shooter inside the building, getting into the building,
right,
or leaving the building. And this is a university that has over 800 cameras. I don't know how that happens. What I've heard is, I think the state police spokesperson or colonel may have explained that it's an older building. I don't really find that to be an excuse.
Right.
You know, put a camera there.
Yes.
I have a camera. My dad has a camera in his garage.
Right, right. You know? Exactly. I mean, I hate to laugh, but it's so absurd.
It is. It is. And what the president told us when I was there was that the outdoor doors to this building were apparently unlocked. And the indoor doors, you had to access with a student card or a staff card. But I just don't understand what makes a difference. You know, she said, well, it's final exams. We need to get in and out. It's like, well, they have an access card. Why not have both doors have an access card?
Right.
I don't understand that. Why are you risking that?
Brown University, of course, is one of the oldest universities in America. It's an American institution. It's private, but it's an American institution. Most people in this area have some connection to Brown University.
Sure.
Mark Stokowski here at the radio station graduated from Brown University. Mayor Mitchell's daughter went to Brown, just graduated from Brown University. My cousin Monica went to Brown University. Monica Brady, many of you are familiar with her from hearing her on WBRU for years. And now she's the editor and publisher over there on Martha's Vineyard. Many, many people have a connection to Brown University. A lot of us have gone there for events. I went there when David Horowitz spoke a number of years ago. Now he's passed on now. For there to be a terrorist, I think it's a terrorist attack, but they haven't said it yet, but it seems that way, right, Tim?
Well, it seems so. I mean, another person who did great reporting on this is Ben Burke. I think you've had him on a couple times.
You mentioned him, yeah.
Yeah, he works for, I excuse me for not getting the outlet he's working at in Rhode Island correct, but I believe it's an NPR outlet in Rhode Island.
I believe so.
Yeah, and he did great reporting, and he had actually got a first-hand account of somebody who was in there, and I guess the teacher's name was, I'm assuming she's Jewish, her last name's Friedman or Friedberg or something. And I mean, obviously it's too early to speculate on a motive, but you know that maybe that could be it. There are some reports that weren't, I haven't been able to confirm, but I've heard a lot of reporters who have talked to people who were there say that there was an Arabic slur or Arabic speaking shouting going on before the shooting. And one thing I will say, Chris, is unfortunately also, I don't know if you've heard this news, that one of the victims who was killed by the shooter was the vice president of the College Republicans at Brown University.
So I'd heard about that, but it really was, right?
Yes, and they've released a statement. Her name was Ella Cook. She seems like a nice, sweet girl. There's a picture of her right here, but she... she's no longer
Ella Cook.
Ella Cook.
Ella Cook was one of the people murdered down at Brown University. That it's just the whole thing's a tragedy.
It really is. It really is.
And I think coming at the start of Hanukkah, that's not a coincidence. I wouldn't imagine that's a coincidence. Maybe it is, but I doubt it is.
Well, I mean, you saw what happened on the other side of the globe and at Bondi Beach, I think it's called, in Australia. That horrible attack during that. Was it a Hanukkah celebration there,
yes,
too?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's terrible. I mean, it's just, I don't know how do you stop this?
Right. And let's face it, if someone in that classroom had a firearm, but I'm sure no one's allowed to have a gun on Brown University campus.
I would imagine Brown's one of the last places you could have a gun on campus.
Right. Right, and except this guy walked right on campus with a gun and started murdering people. So what it takes to stop a bad man with a gun is at least one good guy with a gun.
I would say so.
Right.
I mean, I would like to have a good guy with a gun near me if I was, I guess if I had to go back to school anywhere, honestly, nowadays.
Right, right. Know? Absolutely. The other part is this going to encourage to the degree that it's necessary more... live shooter training, things like that.
Right.
Active shooter training in the public schools, active shooter training, because I don't know that they do a lot of that. I know Fairhaven does, or at least it used to under Cobza, Lieutenant Cobza. The idea of active shooter training to prevent this type of stuff.
You know what I would say is I had about a month stint being fortunate enough when I first moved back to New York City to work at New Bedford High School. I worked as a teacher's aide for a little bit before I was able to get over to the Herald.
And yeah.
I remember thinking there, this is the last place if I was going to try to do something like that, the last place I'd go is New Bedford High School. I will say that there is something to say when you have a massive security force plus New Bedford's finest, all over the place and cars up front, that stops people.
That's good news, Tim Dunn, that you're saying when you were working... Hold on 1 second, sir. Put that guy back on hold. We're speaking with Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. Tim, before we, maybe we will take this call and then we'll go from there. We're talking about the shooting at Brown University. We've got a whole lot of other things we're going to cover with Tim Dunn because he's been writing like crazy, uncovering all kinds of really important, scandalous information in the state of Massachusetts. That guy's gone anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Tim, tell you what, we'll take a break and then we'll come back. So you're hearing from multiple sources that there was something like Ali Akbar or something like that yelled out by the shooter. Potentially, people are reporting that.
Yeah, again, can't confirm it, but different reporters have been putting that up, and then I've heard other reporters contradicting that. So we'll see what the final story ends up being.
And at this moment in time, guys. The shooter is still on the loose. They lifted the perimeter because they thought they had the suspect. Turns out they were wrong. Federal officials were wrong. State officials and local officials all were wrong. And they lifted the perimeter and let people move around Providence and Rhode Island. And the guy could even be here in Massachusetts. Why not, right? So hopefully everybody's got their eyes peeled. All right, we're going to take a break and then we'll be back. More with Tim Dunn from the Boston. Now, how do people follow you on social media, Tim?
Oh, on Facebook, I'm at Timmy Dunn, as I started out being a, you know, with a younger name. I kept that for people who have known me for a while. I'm on Twitter, I'm at Consider Me Dunn. And then on Truth Social now, to your advice, I have that now.
Yes.
It's at Tim Dunn _ BOS Herald.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Lonely is the night when you find yourself alone. Your demons come to light and your mind is not your own. Lonely is the night when there's no one left to call. Say the writing's on the wall, yeah.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy, and Lonely is the Night. Little Billy Squire for you. You know, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They will even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. We're here with Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. Tim, in addition to Brown University, that story, you've been working on the alleged cocaine trafficker working for Governor Healey. You broke the story on the background check that included, well, you tell me about it. What is the amazing story about LeVar Cook working for Governor Healey?
Well, what we found, Chris, is it was, I believe, on Thursday. It was it was at the deadline for this. It was December 11th, I believe it was. We had finally hit the deadline for the Mass State Police to respond to a Secretary of State's order to release information about what records related to Lamar Cook they wanted to withhold and why. So they got back to us on that. And that was all based on an appeal that our executive editor, Joe Dwinell, great journalist, put in.
Yes, he is.
And when they responded to us, they had let us know that they had a bunch of different documents related to his, you know, all of his history, you know, backgrounds of driving, tax histories, all this stuff. But most importantly, what they had was they had information compiled by the Department State Office of Investigations concerning the candidate's personal, professional, driving, tax histories, as well as the results of a standard search of all applicable Department of Criminal Justice Information Services information. So right there, that encapsulates that they got anything that's related to his criminal history,
right,
including a 2001 gun charge where he jumped out of a car and fired at people on a porch, allegedly. That all was in the background report that was sent to the governor's office. So the only...
She knew.
Well, I talked with this with Perry on Friday, too. There's one or two conclusions I came up with. Either they knew and they just said, okay, we want that person on our team, or it somehow slipped through the cracks. Either way, it doesn't look too good.
No.
No.
No, it's horrible. I mean, people make mistakes in life, but very few people make the mistake of jumping out of a car and shooting at somebody on a porch.
No, that doesn't seem to be a mistake to me. When you can yell and say something, you know, you wouldn't want to say at somebody when you're mad, that could be a mistake maybe, but
right,
getting out of a car and shooting at somebody, a bit of a leap to be a mistake.
You know what? Truthfully, with the exception of the car, it's very similar to what happened down at Brown University.
Yeah.
Right? It really is. Does he have an alibi for Brown University? I guess he was in custody, right?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, he's good on that one. He's clean on that.
But he's out on bail, right?
I think last I heard they lowered his bail.
Yes.
I got to figure out more on that. I know why we have the info. We always include it in our articles. But
yes,
off the top of my head, I can't remember if he's in or out.
So we know that the governor of Massachusetts either let it fall through the cracks or didn't care that someone she was hiring had been involved in shooting someone.
Right, and I think it's going to be another liability for her for the upcoming election here, one of many, because I think what's happening is the public's kind of slowly being led to be aware of there's a transparency issue happening.
Yes.
You know, this is somebody who told us that she did all the background checks with the migrant shelters, and that never happened.
Right.
This is somebody who is going back and forth again, actually, on the weekend on the pipelines. You know, she's now saying again in an interview with Neckin over the weekend that she, in fact, did stop the pipelines. It was just a bad, you know, I got Mass out of a bad deal. So you got somebody who's not really, it seems like this office has trouble getting a straight message forward on a lot of fronts.
We have Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. Of course, he famously confronted the governor at the State House when she was blaming Trump. And to some degree, the tariffs are going to have an impact on energy prices, but they're not the reason for the high energy prices in Massachusetts today. That she, in fact, canceled two pipelines, and her reaction was to do what? Lie, right?
Yeah, he'll still me I didn't do that.
Right.
You know, that, and you know, when we all have seen the other, you know, the WBUR in 2022, where she said I stopped them. She said a month, I think in October, she didn't stop them, and then she said doubled down on that with me. And then on Saturday or Friday, she's saying the opposite now. So I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know what they're. Well, I'll give them a few weeks, and they can get back to us on what they think.
I was with a former elected, lifelong Democrat at the national level over the weekend. And he said to me, I think Healey might have to resign. That's what he said to me, based on what you've uncovered about the background check and the cocaine trafficking in the office and the electric bills and all that stuff. But, I mean, the alleged cocaine trafficking by a senior staffer and the fact that she hired him after she found out or didn't bother to find out that he'd been arrested for a shooting, he said to me, I don't see how she can run for re-election.
Right. And also, Chris, I plan on trying to dig into this week, is also the overspending that just came out.
Talk about that.
Like $3.6 billion they overspent on in the budget. I mean, it's just endless.
$3.6 billion.
Yeah, right. And then here we are at 12 degrees, and I'm trying to huddle around a fire because I can't afford these gas prices. So, you know, I've got a trash can in my living room, essentially, with you know, lit on fire.
Tim Dunn from Boston Herald. Tim, you also are working on a major story that will keep you warm. The convention center.
Right.
The executive director. You broke this story. So tell us what's happening at the convention center and then what the latest thing is up there with the executive director. Tell us, Tim.
Absolutely. And this actually happened. This broke on Friday afternoon, later Friday afternoon. And what happened was, after all the reporting had happened, and pretty much
tell the people what the scandal is to begin with.
Absolutely. So pretty much the skinny of it, Chris, is there's two investigations going on into the MCCA. One of them has been widely known for a while. They had problems with racial bias and discrimination. And because of that, they appointed a CEO, this man, Marcel Vernon. He's a kind of, I would say, a pillar of the black community in the Boston area. He was, you know, very successful in the private sector. And he, you know, has been, I think, I'm very philanthropic. And he's just, you know, his face is all over kind of good causes around that Boston area. And so they appointed him to kind of root out those issues. And
he
certainly had attempted to do that. And we're going to be seeing in an upcoming state committee meeting with the Joint Committee on Racial discrimination, bias, something along those lines.
And who chairs that?
Chair Bud Williams, Rep. Bud Williams.
Reference the earlier story. We'll have more to say about Bud Williams. He becomes more of a household name. But continue.
Exactly. So that hearing is coming up, and he and other leadership at the MCCA, the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority, are going to be testifying about that. As that story was unfolding and kind of just coming through fruition here, we were able to break news that Senator Mark Montigny, our state senator down here, has summoned Mr. Vernon, the CEO, and other leadership members of leadership at the convention center to testify and to provide information related to some pretty serious seeming charge, you know, allegations of corruption. A lot of the allegations in the summons letter mentioned by sent by Montigny included surveilling employees without their consent and hiring IT PIs and outside law firms to follow employees and investigate them, trying to get rid of and destroy electronic records, just flat out taking from the public fund.
Yes.
And more. So a lot of stuff going on. And when we reported that, a few days later, the board had broken open meeting law by not scheduling a meeting within 48 hours or two business days and notifying the public, and held an emergency meeting. And it was rumored they were going to fire the CEO in wake of this. Which, I guess kind of screams could be a CYA kind of moment.
Sure.
And they didn't end up doing that. But then on Friday, they just announced that they had reached a $500,000 severance agreement with him. So he's going bye-bye. He's getting $500,000. But the good thing is that he's allowed to speak publicly or privately about anything concerning the convention center.
So this is a major story. You have Senator Montigny as the chairman of Post Audit. He has subpoena power. So they almost couldn't quiet him,
right?
The executive director. In other words, Senator Montigny's already subpoenaed this stuff. So he was going in front of that committee to begin with. Whatever severance agreement they reached with him, they weren't going to be able to shut him up anyway.
Exactly, exactly. And we've reached out to the senator's office, but and his one of his staffers told me, understandably, that they can't really comment on anything now because he's going to be chairing that committee. But right. But so understandable there for sure. But as far as I know, he's still going to be testifying in front of Senator Montigny, and he even said that he's still willing to come forward in a statement that he released on that severance agreement.
We speak with Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. Tim, we talk about the public funds; they were going to abscond potentially with hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Oh yeah, yes, tons of stuff, and we're working on. And I can't really go out and say too much about it yet because we're still trying to work on it.
Sure.
But there's allegations of. Of certain members of the board working at other entities aside from the convention center and being able to voting on or deciding on or even taking money and giving money to these other entities that they work at with convention center funding, which you don't have to be a legal expert to say it's a conflict of interest.
Right, if not a felony.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Tim Dunn. I mean, this is amazing stuff. You've been working on in just a few, how long have you been at the Herald? A couple of weeks, right?
A little over a month now.
You've got the Cook background check, which is amazing. The fact that the governor and her staff were made fully aware, maybe they ignored it, maybe they overlooked it, that the gentleman they hired who was later arrested by her own state police for cocaine trafficking had previously been involved in a shooting. Pulled up in a car, got out of the car, and shot at people on a porch. Because, that's what happens sometimes, right? And that somehow that's something to overlook. And then later on, to nobody's surprise, I would imagine, is alleged to be involved in major cocaine trafficking. Pounds of cocaine coming to a public building.
Exactly. I mean, I thought having a tattoo or something in the wrong place would get you disqualified from a job. I go to apply to this job.
Right? Anybody, people out there going, I didn't know. They lowered the standards, right? You no longer need a college degree to work for the state of Massachusetts. Who knew you could also have a gun charge?
Exactly. Chris, I heard you with Sheriff Hodgson on Friday, and yes. I had no idea that he was following around the former vice president, Kamala Harris, when she was here.
Cook.
Yeah, Cook.
As a representative of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Mr. Cook was photographed with the vice president. I mean, how much more embarrassing to the Democrats are they going to accept from Maura Healey before they dump her from the ticket?
Right, or before they can start, or before they have to stop defending it.
Right.
You've seen them jump ship. Look at Chris Flanagan down there. They all supported him when all these allegations that he was, doing his corruption over there with his election came out. And then when it finally broke that he actually did it, everyone parted ship.
Right.
So I think, I don't think we're there yet with Healey, but there could come a time if these scandals and these things keep happening.
Yeah, I would say that, as I told you, I was with a major formerly elected national Democrat talking about it's time for Healey to go.
Yeah, it seems that, again, in Massachusetts, it seems amazingly to me that it seems like she's not going anywhere yet. But I could see that kind of rumbling starting to happen maybe amongst different people, different positions.
Well, if you're a state representative or a state senator, can you really last with her on the ticket until November?
Well, no. Especially if you're in a tight race. If you're facing a Republican in a tight race and the Republican's pointing out Healy this, Healy that, Healy electric, everything.
Right.
You know, and you're supporting her. It might be a tough position.
We're speaking with Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. Tim, I really appreciate you coming down and talking with us. And if people want to speak with you, they can. But this story at Brown University, I think, is going to break out. I mean, Brown University is an internationally known university.
Ivy League, yeah.
Ivy League, right? In fact, Sergei Khrushchev, the son of the dictator of the Soviet Union, Khrushchev, Anatoly Khrushchev, that's where he taught. At Brown University.
Oh, lovely.
So he was there. He's passed away now. But a good friend of mine used to spend a lot of time there at Brown University. And a lot of people worked there. And it's just really an amazing story.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And, because whenever these things happen, it's a national story. You can see Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they're all on it. And it's happening essentially in our backyard.
Tim Dunn, I appreciate everything you do with the Boston Herald. Anything you want to tell us you're working on?
This week, we're going to try to get some more convention stuff, things going on. We're going to definitely try to follow up with Governor Healy on some of these Lamar Cook updates and what she said to NBC over the weekend about pipelines. We're going to try to see if we can get a straight answer on that. You never know. Otherwise, no, I kind of got to open my stack of stuff tomorrow and jump in.
We don't want to give you competition, any heads up on what you're working on, but you are a tough guy to follow, Tim. Really, Tim Dunn, you're breaking news all the time at the Boston Herald. How do people follow it? How do people get your stories?
So you can follow me on Twitter and on X now at Consider Me Dunn. The Dunn is D-U-N-N. And on Truth Social, if anyone's on that, it's at Tim Dunn _BOS Herald. And then on Facebook, you can find me at Timmy Dunn.
And BostonHerald.com.
Yeah, and BostonHerald.com, of course.
Those stories are all up there. I think there's a paywall, but it's really, really great stuff. And they're breaking news all the time. The whole team at the Boston Herald.
Oh, they're great. They're great. We have our newsroom isn't as big as the Globe's, but I think we have a lot more quality than quantity.
Yeah, you're not a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party.
No, I wouldn't say so.
All right, Tim, thank you so much, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, guys, that's Tim Dunn. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Again, I want to thank Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald. He's really helping me and Barry bring you guys the greatest and the latest news going on here in the Commonwealth and Rhode Island, obviously. We've got a story we're working on right now. Another dead body. I'm not going to break any details to you here. I'm sure Tim is working on it, and we'll have it out to you soon enough at WBSM.com. It's cold out. That cracked windshield you have is not going to fare very well, so get it fixed. It's dangerous to have a cracked windshield, and it's easy to get it fixed. Call Citywide Glass. They're located in Dartmouth and Fall River. And on the internet at citywideglass.net. You don't have to go to them. They'll come to you. Citywide Glass has a mobile tech team. That mobile tech team will come right out. They'll bill your insurance company, so it won't cost you anything to have that windshield fixed, right? Just like new. So call Citywide Glass. We'll book the appointment at citywideglass.net. Dot net, and get that cracked windshield fixed. Any other glass on the vehicle as well. 508-996-05. It's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I don't mean to jump the gun.
That's all right.
You mentioned something about a dead body.
Yes, sir.
About 2 weeks ago, I called. I don't know if this is related, that on Dartmouth Street here in New Bedford, in November, they found a dead body, and the house was 291 Dartmouth Street, and the body was there for 5 years.
Oof. Really?
Really. Right now, it's being investigated by detectives in New Bedford, and it involves Joe Pereira, who owns a establishment in Dartmouth, and his son, Ryan Pereira, who's in Ward's.
Whoa. Don't say that stuff here. I mean, I don't know anything about that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. The body I'm talking about was found in Rehoboth. Apparently, there was a dead body found in Rehoboth, and I would think we'll have more about that coming up. And I, you know, again, it's open phones, but just you gotta, you know, anyway, 508-996-0500. The shooting at Brown University, for those of you who were like I was following it Saturday night, I thought Channel 12 did a really good job. They have Colonel Stephen O'Donnell, who was a major organized crime investigator, went undercover, and certainly ran the Rhode Island State Police, so he knows how to do these investigations. He was on with them on Saturday night, and then again with them this morning at 6 a.m. I think it's a major blunder by federal law enforcement and local and state law enforcement. And again, I thought Saturday evening, Mayor Smiley had a strong performance, the mayor of Providence. I found him to be, appeared to be in control, to the degree that you can be in control when you have a mass casualty event. They had the governor there, people from the attorney general's office, the chief of police, and the FBI and all federal law enforcement. And they had the different control areas set up. They had a special area for the media to keep them protected. Remember, at the time of the press conferences, the shooter was still at large. Then they arrested somebody. Well, they put him into custody. When you're in custody, you're presumed to be the suspect. And then they unlocked the city. Let everybody move about, including, obviously, the real assailant who's yet to be apprehended. I've got the TV on here in the studio. And they're saying a manhunt is going on for the gunman. Now, think about it this way. It's only 5 minutes from our border, Bristol County, Brown University, right? Providence. It's right there. And is it possible that the shooter is in the sound of my voice? Of course it is. So, I'll tell you something else. We have really great law enforcement here, local people that are attached to various federal task forces, SEMLAC, which is the Southeastern Mass Special Reaction Team. I don't think I have the acronym correct, but they are basically our SWAT. All the various SWAT teams are under the SEMLAC team. A couple guys from Rehoboth just got on, but Hank Turgeon was on there for years. There's other people locally that are on there. And as well as the federal team that responds with the FBI. I mean, local law enforcement. that potentially will be involved and have been involved in this Brown University response. It's absolutely crazy. And then the other part, of course, check out the Boston Herald, the convention story. Corruption at the conventions, the state convention, Sonna. And of course, our own Senator Mark Montigny. He's been investigating this for quite a while now. It's only recently become public that Senator Montigny has been looking into various aspects of corruption. And are they trying to buy the silence of the executive director with a big buyout package? $500,000? Who gets a $500,000 buyout when you're being investigated for corruption and potential discrimination, the agency, even though maybe he was brought, even though he was brought in to root out the discrimination? Who gets bought out when a state senator is sending subpoenas? Outrageous. Really, really outrageous. And again, I don't know how Governor Healey truthfully runs for re-election. I don't. Now, when she's stymied the audit and wants to raise local taxes, how does a Democrat stand next to her and say, this is my governor, vote for her, and by the way, vote for me? At the same time, when they have a Republican opponent with a high-octane gubernatorial candidate running as a Republican, a Mike Minogue, a Mike Keneally, a Brian Shortsley, right? How does, as an example, a Steve Ouellette of Westport, not a bad guy, how does he run against a Jesse St. Gelais? Say, no, vote for Maura Healey and Cocaine Cook, right? Come on. It's going to be very difficult. Stick around. We'll be right back. Arthur, you're the audience. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. How are you on this cold, cold day?
I'm doing well, Hank Turgeon. How are you?
Very good. Chris, I don't want to instill any fear in your listeners, but you had said earlier that had a good person with a firearm been in that Brown shooting, they may have been able to stop it sooner, just like yes. The incident in Australia. I want you to watch the interview with Sean Ryan. He interviews a woman called Sarah Adams. It's a long interview, excellent interview. She's an intel person, and she's been warning now for a long time that lone wolf attacks are coming to the United States. They have the intelligence, but yet the government's not feeding it to us. But listen to this interview, and she's saying these lone wolf attacks are coming, where these violent terrorists are going to start hitting soft targets. I think all your listeners should be going to Westport Gun Supply, getting their license to carry, getting a gun. They should be contacting local police officers that they know, find out where local classes are. The more people that are enjoying your Second Amendment right and are out there to protect themselves and anyone around them, we can put a stop to these lone wolf attacks.
Hank Turgeon, of course, you for many decades were a New Bedford police officer. Now you're involved in first shoot and mass shooter response, so to speak, with a private company. Good people with guns can stop bad people, right?
Good people with good hearts, with good intentions, can stop the evil in this world, Chris McCarthy. You're doing a great job, and I hope to give you a job, a ride later on today.
See you, Chris. Hope to?
Bye.
Bye. Hank Turgeon actually works for a private company that's contracted to stop mass shooters, okay? I won't tell you any more than that. But he's a good man with a gun. And the training, by the way. Training is important. So you heard him say that. Reach out to Shooting Supply. They'll help you get a firearms license. There are other people to help you with the training. All of that. So Shooting Supply can help with the training as well, obviously. That's your first stop, Shooting Supply. All right. I know I had some people on hold, but they obviously realized the hour's up. And couple of things. By the way, did you hear that Jesse St. Gelais Christmas ad? His party. I was not able to be there. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm not at political fundraisers, funerals, wakes, any sort of big gatherings because of my immune system. And I may, you know, it's my loss. And it's obviously a lot of people's loss as well. But I don't want anyone to think I'm snubbing them.